Good afternoon. This is Tim Sharada from Guild Investment Management. You are listening to our podcast. Today is June 8th, 2018. On our podcast today, we have Rudy Von Emmendele, Senior Research Analyst of Guild Investment. Welcome to the podcast, Rudy.
Thanks, Tim. So here's our summer outlook for U.S. and global markets. Let's start with a review of U.S. and global economic, trade, financial, and banking outlooks. For the U.S., we see bullish economics, very strong, with trade not a problem. For Europe, we view as neutral and think that investors should avoid it. Asia, we see growth companies as being attractive. With a strong U.S. dollar, that's neutral for Asian commodity exporters. And Latin America, on a case-by-case basis, we think speculators can make some money buying when crises occur. So a little more detail for the U.S. First, trade is making slow progress in spite of scary headlines. For example, there's not been much media coverage, but China has lowered tariffs on U.S. goods three times in the past few months. And although it's not well understood, today the U.S. has substantially lowered trade tariffs already than those of our trading partners. U.S. trade policy will produce results. Over the summer, there'll be volatility, but eventually progress. Why do we think this? Because a real trade war would be negative for everyone, and the world, which runs an $800 billion annual trade surplus with the U.S., would be more than happy to maintain a $500 billion trade surplus. Such a reduction in the U.S. trade deficit would add to U.S. GDP growth, U.S. employment, and U.S. prosperity. Trading partners who run big surpluses with the U.S. will complain loudly and make false accusations against the U.S. for misdeeds we haven't done, but they'll settle in the end and be grateful to maintain a still positive trade position with the United States. Second, economic growth is a lot stronger than pessimists have expected. The major reason that we're bullish on the U.S. is good economic growth, very strong earnings growth, and market valuations that are slightly below historical averages. When inflation has been between 1 and 3%, the market has averaged 19 times earnings. The U.S. economy is moving ahead much more rapidly than establishment economists have predicted. The pessimist case for slow growth in the U.S. has been substantially wrong so far, and we believe it will continue to be wrong. The so-called new normal that establishment economists have predicted and continue to predict will result in lower trend GDP growth of about 1.5% due to lower population growth, lower productivity growth, high debt, and Chinese growth exceeding that of the U.S. The actual current normal is much more positive than the establishment economists have predicted. It's 3% or more real growth driven by lower taxes, repatriation, increased net exports, deregulation, and the increased rule of law. As is often the case, widely heralded trends prove to be wrong, and this time, substantially wrong so far. According to an analyst who we greatly respect, John Hook of Hook Analytics, the 20th century's real growth was about 50% more than the 19th century because of accelerating technological advance. Technological advance is still accelerating and probably accelerates more ahead. Technological advance is the chief driver of increased productivity. He also says, tax cuts and repatriation are one-time events, but deregulation, increased net exports, increased rule of law, and accelerating technological advance, though uneven, are capable of continuing. Probably these positive forces will increase and increase productivity and thus real growth. There's also employment. The U.S. employment report of last Friday can be described in one word, impressive. The unemployment rate fell to 3.8%, a multi-decade low. Construction and manufacturing employment surprised by increasing faster than expected. Wages grew by 0.3% month on month, adding up to about a 3% annual wage increase this year with expected 2018 inflation of about 2%. This is a very positive combination for the public's well-being and rising consumer spending. Inflation remains constrained, and a strong dollar has kept it constrained. We're neutral on Europe and believe that investors should avoid it. As has been the case for months, we're not bullish on Europe. Europe has banking system problems that have not been addressed. Italy's political and banking woes are destabilizing, and Europe is being faced with increasing expenses for their defense. NATO members have been notified that they must increase their support for the organization and that the U.S. will not continue unilaterally underwriting Europe's defense costs. They must repay billions that the U.S. has subsidized in excess of agreed-upon amounts. Europe, in general, is our least favorite regional investment destination. Asia, on the other hand, is more positive. We believe Asian growth companies are attractive and commodity companies are neutral. Asia is growing and does not suffer from the political and banking problems of Europe. We see Asia as divided between two camps. First, there are countries that are growth-oriented due to manufacturing or technological expertise. And second, there are those that produce and export commodities. We're bullish on Asian growth economies and neutral on Asian countries that produce raw materials. If the US dollar were to stop rising versus world currencies, we could become more bullish on commodity-producing countries. But with the current strong US dollar, we're avoiding commodity-producing countries like Malaysia and Indonesia. We're more bullish on China, Vietnam, and India. Within China, we prefer technology companies and major internet-related gaming, retail, and growth stocks. Within India, we prefer growth sectors that benefit from a rapidly expanding middle class. We especially favor automotive and transportation finance subsidiaries of major automobile, motorcycle, and farm equipment manufacturers. In Latin America, we're back to the same old crisis management. Brazil, Argentina, Venezuela, and others have mismanaged their economies through corruption or economic programs that have run amok. Of the three, the one that seems most salvageable and positive for speculation is Argentina. Argentina is rebuilding after the devastating damage inflicted on the economy by the two Kirchner presidents and their Peronist allies. In Venezuela, it appears that the country will have to continue with its collapse cycle, and the government will have to change before they come to their senses. Brazil is early in what may be a long cycle of corruption revelations, showing that many politicians of most parties have been on the take and have taken advantage of the voters through corrupt practices. Gold remains in a trading range and has been held down by the strong US dollar. We believe that gold will rise modestly in 2018, but we do not see a major bull market brewing. 2018 continues to be shaping up as a transformative year for digital currencies, however, with significant new platform launches addressing key weaknesses that have proven problematic for existing cryptos. We'll be watching to see how these new platforms perform, whether they attract users, and what unforeseen problems may emerge. In 2017, the crypto fruit was low-hanging. Crypto speculators now need to have a real grasp of technical fundamentals and the regulatory landscape. And that often involves monitoring communication channels that are different from mainstream news sources, including Twitter, Telegram, and Reddit. Thanks very much for listening. If you like what you heard, please hit subscribe. And please join us for Guild's Quarterly Forecast, a series about global investing with live Q&A on June 26th at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. And you can visit us at www.guildinvestment.com to register today. Thanks for listening.